Good morning. Let us turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9 to 13. I'll read one verse and you follow. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Let's stop here and let's pray. Father, we come to worship you and waiting in front of you. Lord, speak to us through your Spirit so we may be led into truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We just read about the scene that Jesus was baptized. We notice that this is a very, very unique occasion that we see from the verse 10, that Jesus came up out of the water and he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending upon him. And then a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love." So who spoke to Jesus? Father. So this is our Christian faith. Talk about Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is a very unique occasion that three at the one scene they present to the whole world. And this is extremely important to us. When Jesus, in the Big Commission, he sent our disciples to the world, and he mentioned about baptize them in the names or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll give you two choices. In the name, let's call option choice A. And in the names, choice B. You think is choice A. In the name, could you raise your hand? In the names, choice B, could you raise your hand? Raise B, choice B, one. Wow. So we appreciate your honesty. Could we read it again about this verse? Therefore, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, see, in the name, but three behind that, but it put in the name, but not names. So we believe only one God in three persons. So they only use in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So you will remember forever in your life. Otherwise, they will call you are the cult. So be very, very careful. This is a Trinity, one and three. So in the name, that means one God, okay, but three person. And also, when we given the benediction, we can see that this is the most frequent one that been used. Let's read it again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So now again, this is Trinity. You can see the Son, our Lord Jesus, and the Father God, and then the Holy Spirit. So this is our faith, what we call Trinity. And we talk about many things. Actually, they are relative. They are not absolute. But we need to remember this very careful. For Christian, what is our absolute faith is Trinity. So we encourage you to defend for the Trinity, but take it easy for those relative issues. You know, most of the time people fall into that situation, which fight so much against each other for those relative issues, but not for the absolute issue. And because this is so important, that we can verify the cults. The cults always try to make these three issues differently. Some may say three gods. So for the Father, we say only one God, the only one. And the second one is for Jesus. For Jesus, the cults may have different theory or doctrine. Try to remember very carefully is, for Jesus, he is a complete God, full God in Jesus. And he is also full man, a complete, a perfect man. So for Jesus is God and man. And cults always try to say, Jesus is not God. He may be a prophet. He may be a good teacher. He's a very good moral person, but they never want to admit that he is God. So that is cult. And the other way is they say Jesus is only God, but not man. That is also cult. And then for Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is a person, a living person, a living one. And the cults will say the Holy Spirit is just some kind of power, some kind of influence, some kind of ism. So that is also called cult. So you can verify cults through the Spirit that you will understand. And for the church history, because this issue is so important, Christians may be fooled and may be trapped or tempted away from the right Christianity. So in the church history, we came out with what we call Apostle Creed. So this is the Apostle Creed, that if you get familiar with this, you will be able to verify the cults. So let's read together the first one. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So this is the Father God. This try to verify from these creed. And then the second one, because Jesus is so much emphasized, because through him that we will be able to receive the grace from God. So Jesus, he is God and also he is man. So we will go through this second part. Let's go together. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. So this is the description about Jesus. He's his only Son, and he's our Lord. I need to emphasize here, it stated, I believe what? In. This is a very important. It's not say I believe. Christianity, believe in is different from believe. Believe in, if you said, I know, that is not believe in. If you say, I only understand, that is still not believe in. I agree, that is not believe in. I accept, that is still not a believe in. I know, I understand, I agree, I accept, and then I obey. Then that complete our faith called believe in. I believe in. And Jesus, we will see from his start, from birth to his resurrection, through death, that is the whole complete faith that in we human intellect can understand, can comprehend, and can know, agree, accept, and then follow. So that's why Jesus, the second part, is very crucial to us, because our faith started from there. Because the Bible said, no one who denied the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledged the Son has the Father also. So that is our cutting point. We start from Jesus, then we will be able to know our Father, Heavenly Father. And through Jesus, then we will be able to receive the Holy Spirit dwell inside us. Okay, let's go to the third part. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting amen. So the third part at the very beginning is I believe in the Holy Ghost. Don't be panic about the ghost. Holy Ghost is the same as Holy Spirit. So from the Apostle Creed, I believe in God the Father. And the second one, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And the third, I believe in the Holy Ghost. So this is our faith foundation, the Trinity. So you will be able to verify. Now, if people come and to knock your door, and you can listen to them, what they said, and if they are not fulfilled for these, you can send them away. And if they keep on bothering you, you can tell them that my pastor Shao told me you should not come to my house. If you got any trouble, go to find him. That's a way we treat. We can respond courteously, friendly, kindly, but very, very firmly. And what a scene that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in his baptism. So you can imagine that if you come forward to be baptized, would you imagine that how happily in heaven that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will be testified for your baptism. And we see there are two parts that we're going to look into. One is his baptism. He was baptized. And before we get into that, we should try to remember last week's sermon. We talked about John the Baptist, right? Let's read together verse 4. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So John in the Jordan River, and he baptized people. And this baptism is for what kind of people? Only for sinners, right? And they came to confess their sins. Did you encounter some controversial situation? the one that we have read before, who also came to be baptized. And this baptism is for whom? Did you find something not right? Did you? We knew from the Bible that Jesus is what? Sinless, right? He's even not known about sin. Could you imagine this is a dramatically, significantly in the spiritual world? God, the Creator, through this baptism, God wants to show us the Creator. He is willing to become the level, the position of creatures. See, from all the God's creatures, maybe if we want to put them in order, maybe the angel may be the highest. Maybe later righteous people and good people, maybe people, maybe bad people. The lowest spot is the sinners. God stepped out from his position, unlimited. He became limited. He got full freedom, but he became bonded with bondage. He came from glory and he went into humiliation, from holy, pure, into filthy, from light to darkness. This is how big the step he came down. And this step actually, for our human mind, we truly not able to comprehend what that significant change. I'll try to use some kind of an illustration. Some may be not very appropriate because I couldn't find a real good one to illustrate this situation, the changes. When I was in college in Taiwan, we live in the dorm, 8 people in one room. And for one class, everyone went to the class except me. I kind of fooling around. And after that class, students went back to the dorm and they found the room got robbed or stolen, burglary. And everybody checked their belongings and they found somewhat valuable stuff gone. And I was the only one didn't go to the class. So without any questioning, without any opportunity for me to rebuttal or to defend, to prove, they already sentenced me. This guy did it. And everybody act like they knew what happened. And this is the result. And I have no way out. I couldn't go to them and ask them why you think this way, because they would not talk about that. But you know the sense. That is something that you are not, but you was forced to accept that fact. And I feel grievance inside of me. I feel injustice. I feel wrong. You know, they gave me a false charge. And that's kind of a humiliation for me. But I just try to illustrate how Jesus be baptized. The pure, the holy God. He went to that location for a sinner to confess. And he was baptized. Have you ever experienced that in your life? That you were twisted and we give you no chance to explain and you have to accept it. And later, that is put into my school record. even though it didn't say why, but the grade was so low. But that is even not able to compare what Jesus has gone through, the holy God, and he stood there as a sinner. Jesus wants to show us he is not high, far away, above us. Try to keep people away from him. But he tried to show us he came to identify with you, with me. See, if he is a holy God, dare you get closer to him? But through the baptism, he tells you, it's all right, come to me. I sit at the exact position as yours. So I will take you, I will accept you as you are. You don't need to do any better. You don't need to pretend you are good enough so to get God's favor. He just say, look at me. I'm the same as you, the same position. I'm no better than you. And that is why after his baptism, there is a voice came from above. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. Because God so loved the world. God so loved the people, you and me. We were created in the image and likeness of God. But we were lost. We lost that God's image and likeness. We are not like God anymore. So Jesus understands Father's heart. The Trinity is so beautiful, so wonderful, so much harmony. And the Son, he is willing to say, I come to identify the people, the fallen race. I need to identify with them so they dare to come close. We talk about crucifixion of Jesus. That means 3 years, 3.5 years later. But actually, Jesus started his journey of the cross right from the beginning. Because the journey of the cross is deny yourself, give up yourself. He is God. Could you imagine that he gave up? And that priest, our Father in heaven, he said, you are my son, whom I love. You understand me, how much love to the people. I want to pour out my love, and you understand, and you work with me. Because of his willing to identify us, that our salvation is possible. It's possible. And we can receive his grace because he denied himself. Jesus denied himself. And he was not only baptized, but also right after the baptism, he was led to the wilderness, to the desert, to be tempted. So he was baptized, now he was tempted. And last sermon series, we talk about God is not tempting people, and God will not be tempted. But here we see he was tempted because he is God, and also he is man. So he didn't stand at the position of Son of God. Instead, he stands at Son of Man, as a man, to be tempted. That's why those three temptations from Satan, attack from the spirit, the soul, and the body. Every time, Satan always said, if you were Son of God, if you were Son of God, hey, shift from Son of Man to the Son of God, then you can do the miracle. You can do the thing that God can do. That's a temptation. But what happened to Jesus? He got the privilege. He got the rights. He got the capability to be Son of God. He gave up. He gave up God's position to become man. Now he gave up Son of God and become Son of Man and allow the Satan to tempt him. And he only relied totally on the Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit, not rely on him. Would that be anything to do with you? Would this be anything to do with you? There was a guy, he was kind of walking in the street for his own business. And something happened. A couple people, maybe some minor issue. They were not acquainted to each other. But there was a big fight, and he was beaten, lots of bruise, until the policeman came, somehow rescued that guy, surrounded by those three or four guys beating him. And after police investigation, later they found that guy was beaten. He got the Taekwondo black belt. And the police wonder, why? Why don't you defend yourself? Since you got the skill, you got the capability, you are able. And that guy told the police, because my Taekwondo skill, one start, either kill or severely damaged people. I tried to defend myself instead just protecting my own life, but I would not stretch out my skill because that is so powerful. I just try to illustrate you for Jesus when he met the temptation. He got all the power, all the capability, all the measurement, but he hold it because you and me. He tried to show us just a man like him. No, take no advantage of God. Pure man. We can resist the temptation. We can overcome. Just simply totally rely on the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit. That gave us a hope today. Not only through his baptism that we got the hope that we can be accepted, but also through his temptation. We got the hope we can overcome. We can live a victorious life as a Christian. Totally rely on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. He tried to demonstrate from the very beginning, come to me, trust me. I show you myself. I give up all the privilege. I still can please the Father in heaven. We got hope. And we got that assurance from him. Yes, we can. Now we look back about our Lord. He came to serve. He told us, I did not come to be served. I came to serve as a servant. As a servant. Hopefully help us if you really want to serve. What kind of position you should stay in? Jesus served at the position of those people who to be served. Exactly the same position. Sometimes we serve, we thought we're going to give you favor, so I'm a little higher than you. Whether young people, have you ever tried to serve? When you serve with a lot of complaint, maybe your parent asks you to just clean your house, bring the garbage can outside. All right, all right. So this is the attitude that for us to learn that to serve as a servant. He served as a God's servant, but he stayed as sinner position to serve us. He gave up all he should have. We may need to learn that we need to give up something. Maybe our pride, our ego, maybe even our time, our convenience, and to serve with humility at a very low profile. So let the people to be served, they don't feel guilty. Because they don't feel guilty, at that moment, they will be able to think about this must coming from God, not from you. You need to provide that opportunity to let them think about this must coming from God. I heard quite a few testimony. People serve others. But the response is also always those people appreciate the people who serve them. Oh, they are nice guy. They are good person. They are good people. They are good Christian. But never even mention the God you believe is so good. As a missionary, we are proud of missionary. But there is some dark side of missionary. Missionary went to the field. They went there. At the moment they arrived, they start to criticize. They criticize the environment, the people, the culture, the government, their tradition, their habit, even their diet. This is another attitude for people, for God's servant to serve. 1865. Hudson Taylor. At that time, Great Britain was the most powerful country in the world. Hudson Taylor left, 19 years old. 19 years old. So young. When he arrived China for 6 months, trip through the sea. Later he noticed, because at that time, Qing Dynasty, men wear long hair and then put like a pigtail, a long one. What he did, he even dyed his hair into black color and then he wear the pigtail. He put on the cap, Chinese wear. He put on the Chinese clothes. He eat what Chinese eat. He tried to identify with them. He showed no pride. I came from the British Empire. No, he didn't do that. He gave up and he gave up and he gave up. And gospel, that's why that gospel entered Chinese people. And later he formed an inland mission fellowship. There is a saying to encourage or advise all the missionary. He said, if you want to be a missionary, if there is a tiny, tiny discrimination inside you, just like the people have garlic, you thought nobody smell, but people know. For us, as a Christ follower, Jesus already set the model for us. If you want to serve, Jesus said, follow me. At the very beginning, you need to be baptized. This is the threshold. If you are not willing to be baptized, you are not able to serve and to follow him. So maybe some of you, I'm not sure, maybe some of you here, you are not baptized yet. You pray to him. Listen, God from above, unlimited glory, Victoria God, he came to be baptized. Do you want to follow his path to make your life meaningful and valuable? This is the path that you can follow to be baptized. And then to surrender to him, to follow him as his servant. And your life gonna bless many, many to come. Let us pray.